It is Melbourne a Footy Club Membership Day here on SEN. Show your support. Call 1300DEMON. Sign up today and receive two bonus tickets and a cap. What better motivation to get on the line right now, 1300DEMONs, and do just that. You've been hearing from Melbourne Footy Club people right across the day so far, and we're very fortunate to have the fresh and new CEO of the Footy Club, a name well known to people in footy circles, Gary Peart, joining us on the show today. Gary, thanks for your time.
Not a problem, Andy.
Just a bit less than a year since you put your feet under the desk. Does it take a long time to get settled in and work out what a new footy club feels like and what it stands for?
Well, not really, because, of course, there's just so much going on, and I started straight at the end of the season. So soon as that happens, you sort of roll straight into setting up the pre-season, and you've got all the draft and trade stuff happening. You get your membership campaigns going. You sort of, from day one, are thrown straight into it. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the club following a pretty, exciting finish during the finals. So, I must admit, I settled in very quickly.
Did it feel familiar to you, Gary, given the experiences you've had, obviously, as a player and the time as CEO at the Collingwood Footy Club?
Yeah, it's all the clubs, they're a different personality, if you like, but there's so many similarities about how they're operating within the AFL industry and, you know, what are the fundamentals about getting your revenue streams right, you know, sort of growing your membership, making sure your footy program's setting up well in that off-season period so that it can be the best preparation leading into the season. So all the things are pretty fundamentally the same, and that's why I found it so easy just to slot in. And to be quite honest, it's such a great bunch of people, and they were so welcoming that I've enjoyed it from day one.
Is it easy, if I ask you a question, I suspect it's a question that isn't necessarily an easy one or a simple one to answer, but I'll give it a go anyway. The differences between a massive footy club like Collingwood and a footy club like Melbourne, which isn't, I think it's fair to say, on that kind of strata that a Collingwood football club operates on, but I'm sure he's desperate and keen to get there. Is it easy to differentiate between the two, to tell us, in a nutshell, what the differences between the two organisations are?
Well, I've truly never sat down and spent any time comparing the two. Like, what you do is, from day one, is you chat to all the people within the club and around the club, and what you get a feel is, you know, where's Melbourne at? You know, what are the opportunities? A great club with a great history. I think we all know that it's had a tough probably 10 years. And, you know, a lot of the supporters during that time have disconnected. So you very much see the opportunities in the club that you're at. And, you know, that's what my focus from day one and the reason I took the role was, we've got to get facilities sorted out for the club. We don't have a home base that pulls us all together. You know, the administration spread out through the MCG and the footy departments over at Amy. That's got to be sorted out. We've got to reconnect our supporters and get them back as members. And we've had so many disconnect over the last 10 years. And really, it's about making sure while the footy program, we've got this great young list, you've got to make sure that that plays the best it can over, you know, really over the next 5 or 6 years, over an extended period of time. So you very much focus on the opportunities at the club rather than spending any time or energy comparing it to other clubs that aren't in the same circumstance.
I think that's a terrific answer, I would have thought. So it's principal and central to part of the answer you've just given there, I imagine, is this Yarra Park administration and training complex that, you know, we saw announced, you know, the plans of and discussions about last year. How are they progressing?
Well, they're progressing, but there's so many stakeholders, as you can imagine, in that whole Yarra Park and MOPT precinct. And so, you know, from day one, I've just spent a lot of time talking to state government, to the AFL, to all the different stakeholders, to obviously the MCG Trust and the MCC, really trying to establish that if we're going to do something, it's got to work for all parties. Yep. So you do a lot of listening. You know, it's way too early for me to sit here and go, we've got an absolute designated location and a set design that we're sticking to. It's quite the opposite. We really are trying to make this something that would work for all parties, and you know, that's the path we're on at this stage.
So is there an there's obviously a keenness to make this work because, you know, it's a prime piece of land, and as an identifier for the footy club, it just, you know, the plans that we've seen at a very basic level look terrific. Is there an anxiousness to get it done, given what's happening in the competition, not only interstate, and you see some of the powerhouse kind of facilities that other teams around the AFL are able to present to players that come into their organisation, but, you know, you saw what happened at Collingwood when they located where they find themselves now, and there's been developments at Arden Street, and we're hearing about the Hawthorne Kennedy Centre, which is going to be world's best practice if you believe Jeff Kennett. And, you know, Carlton's just got a $15 million, $25 million split between state and feds to redevelop Princes Park down there. Is there an anxiousness to make sure that you are in the race with all of these other clubs as they're doing all of these other grand kind of projects?
Well, I don't know if it's an anxiousness, but the great thing, the feeling that I get is right across the board, from the state government to the AFL to, you know, even the MCG Trust, City of Melbourne. I think everyone across the board looks at it and goes, we need to sort this out. Like, the Melbourne Football Club is the only club that doesn't have a home base. So when you look at the total league, whether it's even the Gold Coast or GWS, they actually have bases where their footy department and their administration, they've got a social club. As you mentioned, you know, I was involved with the team that put together the Holden Centre. And when we created the social club there at that time, that brings the club together and changes the whole dynamic. And Melbourne doesn't have that. We don't have a meeting point, a connection point, somewhere where you can say, I'll meet you at the Melbourne Football Club. Well, that sort of doesn't exist. And the feeling that I get, which is great, is everyone accepts that we've got to sort it out. Now, what the solution is something that hopefully will evolve, but there's definitely an acceptance from everyone that Melbourne is probably in footy terms at the bottom of the ladder when it comes to club facilities.
Purdy, you and I are about the same age. We've been, you know, you've obviously been involved in the game at a far higher level than I have, but I've been watching it for the same time that you've been playing it and, you know, administering it. Melbourne's always been in this position. This must be such a difficult situation to come to terms with and find an ultimate resolution to. This is brand new for you to confront this challenge, but this has been a challenge for the footy club ever since I've been aware of the VFL, the AFL and the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, I think you can look at all the other clubs and say they've done a lot of great work. They've done, you know, made good decisions, and we see the announcement about Hawthorn today. And all the clubs should be congratulated for that. And I just feel that whatever's gone before me is a little bit irrelevant. I just see it as this great opportunity that now's the time to actually go, we need to sort this out. And ideally, obviously, the reason why we're looking in this inner city area is because, you know, that's the heartland. This is Melbourne's the oldest club. It was a club that played its home games at the MCG before anyone else was doing it. We used to even train on the MCG three times a week. That was our club. That was our heart and soul. And now, over time, for whatever reasons, we've disconnected and we're not centrally located. But I just see this as the great opportunity, the thing that's probably my highest priority right at the moment, to work with all the relevant parties to go, let's create a home and a hub and something that's going to pull the supporters and members into the club and connect them, as well as creating elite training facilities for our players who are competing against clubs that are getting better and better and more sophisticated facilities that they're getting to use every day. And we're going to need that to be able to continue to compete at the highest levels.
Well, I know you know that stability is key to, you know, being able to build. Simon Goodwin is seemingly taking the group, you know, in all the right directions, and he seems to be a really well-liked, well-loved, popular figure across all the strata of the Melbourne Footy Club. He's out of contract at the end of the year. How present and developing are the conversations that you're having between, you know, the administration and the coach?
Yeah, and look, and we make it clear to our supporters that while we don't sort of commentate on the players' or coaches' contracts. We will announce them as soon as they're done because, you know, they're important parts of, like you said, the stability and setting the team up, you know, especially for a period of time that everyone's pretty excited about. You know, I would suggest that's going to play itself out relatively soon. Mm. And I think the most important thing, as you said, there wouldn't be a part of the Melbourne Footy Club that doesn't love everything that Goody's doing with the team, not only the way they're playing on field, but the culture that's being created and the types of young men that are being produced as the Melbourne ambassadors and players. You know, as I said, the one thing I picked up very quickly right around the club, there's a great respect and appreciation for what Goody's done with the whole program.
Talking to Gary Peart, the Melbourne CEO, Melbourne Membership Day here on SEN. 1300 Demons is the number to call. Sign up today, receive two bonus tickets and a cap. Purdy, just a couple, if I can, about the broader state of the game. You've got the AFL CEO's meeting today. I'm not sure what's going to be number one on the agenda. Have you got any idea what might be the most dominant topic discussed amongst you fine people today?
Oh, look, there's a, you know, it's an opportunity while everyone's in town for the season launch tonight for the AFL to sit down and give us a bit of an update on the projects they're working on. So I think there'll be a broad coverage of various projects and, you know, it's up to the AFL to sort of publicly declare that mm-hmm. stuff rather than me. But, you know, quite often in these meetings, a particular topic will just generate a little bit more conversation than others. And, you know, I'm expecting today to be no different there. But, you know, I can't see of anything super controversial that would be coming up today.
Just let me put two in front of you quickly. It was about 5 years, or maybe, no, it was even longer than that, and it was about 6 or 7 years ago now that maybe even off the back of one of these meetings, I'm not sure when it actually took place, but when you're in your guys in this role at the Collingwood Footy Club, you know, illicit drugs has been a huge talking point again this off-season, right or wrong, and a lot of people have been weighing in. It was back in about 2012, I think, when you said that, you know, there's this volcanic behaviour amongst AFL players. And, you know, you were really strong on how concerned you were about the scourge of illicit drugs amongst the AFL playing group. 6 or 7 years down the track, you're back at another club. Are you still as concerned as you were back then?
Oh, look, I think it's important to say that when I brought it up, the main thing for me was I was worried about the welfare of the players. Mm. And you think about how this plays out over a long period of time. If it's not something that we're dealing with as an industry in the best way possible, you know, I'm legitimately worried about how that's going to shape the lives and health of our players, which is why I brought it up, as you said, quite a few years ago. And I think it's great that at that particular time, while it might have been a little bit controversial, the end result was the Players Association, the AFL, the clubs all got together, made some revisions to the policy, which I think made it a lot better. And at that particular point, one of the other things that come out of it is the AFL said, we will continue to review this policy and how well it's working. And really what's playing out this year, and, you know, I've deliberately not got involved in it because I think you've got some really good people in the AFL and they're consulting people at clubs, are just sort of asking the question and reviewing it. And I'd like to think that would be done on an ongoing basis. And again, everyone's got to keep in mind, this is all about the fact that we're in charge of looking after the players in terms of their fitness, their welfare, their mental health issues, right across the board. So anytime we review and assess these areas, it's in the best interests of the players.
Mm. You've been involved, you know, spasmodically throughout your professional career in either footy or media. You've been kind of splitting, you know, your expertise between the two. All these rule changes that have been brought in this year seem to be determined to free the game up and open it up and encourage more ball movement and ultimately more scoring. From your perspective, is this what needs to happen? Do you, as somebody who's invested so much time in the game, do you see at an early point of evidence that some of these things are starting to work and we might be getting some pretty positive outcomes?
Oh, look, I have been involved in the game for a long time and I do laugh a little bit every time the AFL steps in and they're going to change the game and they change the rules. And I suppose then we all sit back and watch and just wait for the coaches to assess it. And ultimately the coaches and the way they coach and the way they educate their players to play a certain game style. That, to me, that's what dictates what we see out on the ground more than the AFL wrestling with these rules all the time. So there's no doubt the AFL will put the rules in and they'll say that they're going to dictate the way the game's played, and rest assured there's 18 teams of coaches sitting back going, all right, how's that going to work for us to increase our chances of winning? And then you'll see the game start to be manipulated by them as the season rolls out.
Exactly.
So it never goes to plan. But look, I love the game, and I would keep it as it is. I wouldn't be tinkering with it too much. It's an amazing spectacle, and I like to let the coaches and players determine the product on field more than anything else.
And the last one, you've got a fantastic AFLW program running at the Melbourne Footy Club. Good people at all levels involved in you know, the building of that team and the management of that team. They look like they're going to be pretty unlucky this year. It's all to play out this weekend, of course. But have you spent any time at all this off-season discussing with anyone at any point of the AFLW season the merits of conferencing in 2019?
No. Look, again, I talked to the AFL before the season when they were looking at bringing it in. I think we got to support the AFL on the trial of some of these initiatives. And it'll be something I'm sure reviewed at the end of the season, which we all know is quite a short season. And everyone will be involved in those discussions. But like you said, the tough thing for us as a club is our girls, the Melbourne team. The girls have played such magnificent football this year and have been such a great spectacle to watch. And, you know, they've missed out on just a couple of games by a goal or two. And what that means is the way that the conference system is set up, that it's going to be a tough one for us to win and get enough of a percentage to continue to go through. But, you know, these are just this is the competition we're in at the moment. And certainly the way we've gone about it, the style of footy and the competitive nature of the way the girls are playing is exactly what we would want from them every week. I think they're doing fantastic.
I agree with you. Melbourne Membership Day, show your support, call 1300 Doom and sign up today. Receive two bonus tickets and a cap. We've been speaking to the club CEO, Gary Peart. You've got a busy day ahead of you, Peartie. We appreciate you giving us so much of your time today. Appreciate it. Thanks very much and good luck for the season ahead.
Great. Thanks, Andy.
Good on you. Gary Peart joining us. So we'll get a break out of the way. More on Afternoons after this.